Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 526 and is sponsored by The Barmaids, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, and Little Skein in the Big Wool. This week's segments include On the Needles,
Events,
In Stitches,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting attacks,
and so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. How's it going this week, Mom?
Excellent. How are you, lovey?
I'm a little bit tired. I went to a somewhat late showing of Captain Marvel last night, which was spectacular. I was under the impression it was closing on Thursday, so the day the episode is supposed to drop. And it's not. But I ended up going with some friends to a rather late showing. I went after a parent thing because Andrew was already covering bedtime. And I worked on my Viajange, which is becoming enormous. It's putting the Jange in Viajange.
Okay.
It is getting huge. I need to weigh my ball. I don't think I have made that big a dent into it, but it feels... Yeah, it definitely feels like I have a ways to go now that I'm thinking about it. Because I'm supposed to have 160 grams left.
For what?
Before I do the mesh with the beading. So perhaps I'm not as far as I thought I was. But you know what? I'm enjoying the daylights out of it. Because when we go to movies, I just work on this endlessly. And because of the light from the screen, I can see if it's... an increase one or not an increase one pretty easily.
Okay.
The movie was fantastic. I highly recommend it. I'll probably rent it because it's a bit much in the theater to watch with Genevieve. But she'll enjoy it in the safety of our home from the hallway.
Yeah, she likes to hide in the hallway.
It feels safer.
I used to hide behind my dad's back and peek around his shoulders. That felt very safe.
That's an excellent... There are lots of ways of doing it. I was a through-the-fingers peeker for stuff that got intense. So it is interesting to see how everyone does it differently. So I worked on that quite a bit. I did find myself getting very tired. I get a lot more knitting done at morning movies than evening movies, it seems. Though this is the first evening movie I've been to in many years. So excellent movie. I highly recommend it. You should go see it. Take your knitting. What else have you been working on?
I finished all the yarn I had for my Dreyas shawl, which is... The colors are called Birthday Suit and Suit Suit. So they're a natural white and a very dark gray. And I'm out of that. And I found some more... birthday suit in my stash from another project.
Yeah, from the one you just finished, Pearl Break. Because I bought a gigantic ball of that.
Yes. But it is a different kind of yarn. And it was different enough to bother me. It's the same color.
But a different base.
Different base, yes. Rats. So that didn't work. And you know what? It's big enough.
Okay.
So now I'm waiting for this red yarn that is so red it's almost black.
I'm excited.
Yes, me too, to arrive. But until then, that shawl is waiting.
Okay.
So, and you've done the Viajange. What else have you been working on?
This is going to sound like I lead a very jet-setter lifestyle, and I kind of do right now. I went to see Hamilton on Friday with Andrew, and I worked on my History Has Its Eyes on You socks. And to set the scene, I met Andrew up at work, and I wore...
His work.
His work, so that we could drive up together from there. So I took a lift, and here I am with my bioband. And this is all knitting related, because I get horribly carsick, which is not something anyone wants to hear about on a podcast. But if you too get carsick when you read or you knit in the car, this is something that you'll find helpful. They don't sponsor us, though I wish they would. Biobands are not the same as the C-bands you get at the drugstore, because these ones you can adjust down. They have like a, I want to call it a hinge on it, but it's basically like a metal loop, and you can tighten it as far as you need to. And because I have small wrists, This way, the pressure point thing hits you exactly
where you need it.
Where you need it, which is why this has worked better for me than any of them, and I'm willing to pay. I think it's like twice as expensive as the drugstore ones.
But I like it too.
Yeah, I need to get a couple of spares and throw them in the car because honestly, shipping on one bioband is the cost of a second bioband.
Mm-hmm.
So having a couple of spares in the car, I actually keep it in my Knitmore tool bag.
Mm-hmm.
And because I always take my tool bag with me no matter where I'm going, and it's got a flash drive, and we should do a what do you keep in your tool bag thing one of these days. Anyway, so I'm in my gown and I have my project bag, my Hamilton project bag that Emily Straw made for me from formerly Knitting Butterflies, now the Tightly Spun podcast. And so I've got my Hamilton sock. Oh, and I knit the first one on the drive to Hamilton when we saw it when it was here 2-ish years ago. And I guess I started the second one because I thought I was going to have to cast it on and get it past the ribbing, or at least like establish the ribbing enough to be able to work on it during the show. But as it turns out, I had started it on the drive back already. So I had, I don't know, 3 inches of cuff done. So I had decided that I was going to finish the cuff and put in the waist yarn for the afterthought heel before curtain went up. And I did. I was in the car for 2.5 hours. So between the lift to Andrew's work and then the traffic from where Andrew works to San Francisco to where when we parked in San Francisco, I was in the car for 2.5 hours. So
that sounds terrible.
I was in a car, but I was knitting.
Yeah.
The whole time. And so I got exactly where I wanted to be. And I'm a little bit past the waist yarn at the theater. And I turned to Andrew and I said, I am exactly where I want to be with my knitting. Like, I hit my knitting goals. So I was pretty excited. So yeah, I did that and I got it to pretty far in the foot. And I've got the heel half done. And I have to measure it and see if I knit too far on the foot. Because afterthought heels, I never get the length right when I'm trying to pre-plan it. So I can't, the way I make my socks, I can't put in the waist yarn, knit until this, do the toe, and then do the heel. Because my heel always ends up either massively huge and too long or way too short.
The heel or the foot?
The heel. I mean, the whole length of the foot, but when it's the heel that's the variable.
I'm totally confused. You're doing an afterthought heel.
I'm doing a sort of afterthought heel. I'm doing it kind of the way that Susan B. Anderson does it, where she puts the waist yarn in and knits a little bit of foot and then does the heel.
Okay.
It has to do with stitches and row count and rows per inch and things like that. And these are all variables that go into making an afterthought heel. And I haven't nailed it yet with the math to be able to say this is how long my heel is on this stitch count. So I need to make my heel this big. It just isn't working.
You need to make your heel this big? How do you make
your
heel
length,
bigger?
This isn't making sense. The length of the foot. This is how long the length of the foot needs to be in order for the whole thing to be the right length.
You had me totally confused.
I'm sorry. I was out very late last night.
We were the same size
shoe, relatively, shoe. Yeah.
You need 4.25 inches of foot.
For how many stitches, though? 64 or 56?
56.
So, fun story. These are also 64-stitch socks because I cast them on before Genevieve started kindergarten. And with her starting kindergarten, we're walking to the neighborhood school every day and I've lost some weight. So, my 56-stitch socks fit again. My 64-stitch ones are fine. They fit fine, but these are bigger. So, we'll see. I mean, we can try it your way. I just need to figure out my stuff. And also, can I just say, I'm so excited to be knitting socks again. They are a great carry-along project.
They are.
Yeah. So I was thrilled that I had a sock to grab and one that matched the theme of the show to boot.
Yes.
So it was fantastic. It's a great show. All right. What else are you working on? I have a little bit more.
I have nothing.
You have nothing?
I've gone totally monogamous. And with the Dreyeth shawl being on hold, I don't want to work on anything else, so I'm not starting. And I thought, maybe I'll start something new. Grab the next one of my Stitches 2019 projects. It was 2000. It was 2019, yes. And I didn't want to. So I dug in our UFO bin, and I pulled out the welcome blanket that we had started.
Yep, the one for the knitting group.
The one for the knitting group. And the colors we've picked for that is
shades of greens and purples.
The purple is, it kind of looks a bit like navy blue.
Blurple.
Blurple?
Blurple.
Is that a word?
It's somewhere between blue and purple. I see purple when I look at that.
And the beginning is a gray, a lavenderish gray. And so I dug around and I found two half-made squares. Yay, so I finished those. And last night I counted how many were ready. And 20 are ready. 20 squares are done.
So we need to see, let's lay those out and see how big they are. How big. How big a blanket it makes to figure out how big we want to continue making it.
We haven't done, there are a few of the green squares, and there's light green and dark green. And I don't like working with green, do I?
Okay. You don't have to. I have some patterns, like quilt patterns that use half squares.
Half square triangles.
Half square triangles, thank you. And they're on the project page so that we can use any combination of green and purple or purple and purple or any combination. So it should look nice regardless of what each person chooses. And if you don't want to work with the greens, you don't have to. There's plenty of the purples.
Well, there's 20. There's definitely 20.
Yes.
And so it's generally a design that's divisible by four.
Yes.
So we need multiples of four. I thought we could have Genevieve fiddle with it and set up a pattern.
I think I would be okay with showing her the pattern that I would like to do, because I want this to be a blanket that someone would be happy having on their couch. And while I am delighted by Genevieve's general aesthetic, I don't know that it's a good fit for a different family. And I really want this to be something that is special and kind of fancy and cozy for their house. I saw a tweet go across that the Welcome Blanket Project was shifting the focus of the recipients or some such thing. But initially, honestly, I wasn't super into the fact that the blankets were being showed as an exhibit instead of being directly donated to refugees. It felt a little performative. Performative.
Okay.
If it's for charity, I mean, a photograph would have been effective, something else, but it just didn't sit right with me. So what we're going to do is when we're done assembling, it's going to be, we're going to directly donate it. We're going to find a refugee resource like our local branch of the International Rescue Committee to see that it gets to someone quickly. And before anyone fires off their emails, this is how I feel about it. I think if you want to help people, it's great. If you want to do an art installation, that's great. I don't think those two things quite go together, personally, for me. So.
Well, it depends what you want to do. Do you want to help somebody with a warm blanket, or do you want to do something artsy?
And I'm not saying it can't be both. I'm just saying that having actual physical blankets in a museum that need to be going to people felt like it just missed the mark for me. So that's why we're doing it ourselves, and we'll send it off on our own. We have a local branch in the Bay Area, actually. So, because I've seen the emails go on Nextdoor where they're saying, we have a refugee family that's being settled. Does anyone have any of these items, mugs, plates, things like that? So if you want to donate a blanket, you can also see if there's any other need that you can send with them, because housewares, I found a box of plates and things in our garage from Andrew's parents. You know what people, what somebody else can use? A box of plates and cups and stuff that we're never going to use, you know? And they're in good shape, and there's plenty of them. So this is just something to consider. What else? You've just been doing that.
I've just been doing that. I've been thinking about it. So we made these in a size.
Mm-hmm.
And I think measuring them, they're about, each square is about 6 inches big.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a free pattern, the welcome blanket. And you cast 2 stitches on and you increase. And then you decrease.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking our magic number is 37 stitches across. And I think the original pattern is 40 some stitches across.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would have preferred if we had made it bigger.
Okay.
Because the squares kind of feel small.
Okay.
And also I'm cutting all these end, and then
they're gonna have to be what? Yeah,
they all need to be
woven in,
assembled.
Yep.
So, anyway, yeah, and this about my complaining about the blanket.
Okay.
But I'm sitting here and I'm knitting blanket squares because I don't have any good knitting. I'm feeling very sorry for myself.
Is it because you're waiting for your red?
Yes.
Okay. Well. They're making it perfect before they send it to you. This is a color they don't even have.
And I get, they're making I'm getting it for you. Something custom made for
you
me.
You are.
Oh,
I feel custom so, work takes time.
I feel so fancy.
You are so fancy.
Okay. What else are you working on?
Speaking of hats, of things for refugees, I finished the Bubbles hat by Woolly Wormhead out of Cedar House Yarns, her worsted. And that's going to go to Knit Aid. It needs to be blocked, but I seamed the top. So it's one of those cute flat top hats. I have not decided yet if it's going to get pom-poms on the ear points or not, but it is currently gracing one of my little milliner's forms in my kitchen, being beautiful. And on the heels of binding that off, I cast on a hat by Alana Dacos, which I forgot to write the name in my show notes, but we'll include it in yours. And this is in Cephalopod Yarns Codex in this... It's a merino silk blend. It's a singles, but it's like rich chocolate colors. And it just makes me so happy. And it's kind of a beret shape or a tam shape.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll make for a lovely women's hat. So that's the next thing I am doing. I scanned my pattern this morning so I could use it in Knit Companion. Can I talk for a second about how different my opinion on books and patterns and e-readers and things have, like how much it's changed?
Tell me.
I saw the chart. So the hat by Alana Dacos, and we'll link to it in the show notes since obviously I can't even remember what it's called. I feel like it's called Autumn Vines, something like that.
Okay.
But it's all cable-y and beautiful and leafy, and it's just gorgeous. It's got that great, clean aesthetic that she just very understated,
mm-hmm.
elegant, classic, all of those words we use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of those things, but the written out chart was like 4 million words. And given a choice between written out charts and charted charts, like mm-hmm. symbol charts, I'll mm-hmm. take the symbols anytime because you can see how things are moving, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a map.
It is. So I had a photocopy in with the yarn because when Sarah from Cephalopod sent the yarn to me, I knew exactly what I wanted to make out of it. And I tucked the pattern in with the thing. I did a photocopy and I stuck it in with the yarn. So I'm looking at it and I thought to myself, there's no way that I'm going to be happy knitting this off of the paper. Like even the thing where it says, do this and then increase for this and then do this row and then do this row. I so prefer to just move a highlighter bar in Knit Companion. Like this could work in Goodreader too if you're not into the Knit Companion thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I took the time to scan it into my computer so that I could run it through my Goodreader. Not Goodreader, Knit Companion. And that is going to increase my enjoyment of working on this project immensely. Because the paper, it's been sitting for a few years. I think I got this yarn before Rex was born. I'm actually reasonably sure I did. So it's been sitting for a little while. And the paper got a bit crumpled.
How old is he now?
He's 3 and a half.
Ah.
So it's been a little while. But the paper's gotten crumpled, and I was thinking about how I was going to have to flatten it and get a page protector and find some highlighter tape and then hope I didn't lose it and all that good stuff. So
mm-hmm.
So I took the 2 seconds. And I have to say, like, the pattern I've had for years and years and years since before Ravelry was doing download codes on printed patterns. Because while I love having a physical pattern to look at and hold and purchase, mm-hmm. that download key means I never lose it.
Yeah.
I don't accidentally put it in with yarn and tuck it in a project place and then forget that I started the project in the first place, mm-hmm. which of course has never happened to me.
Never.
In the history of knitting. Ever. So that is what I have been working on. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. All right. Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors, Books Plus Knitting Plus Happy Memories. That's Little Skein and the Big Bowl. We make kits, yarn, and project bags that bring your favorite stories to life. Find your favorite story at littleskein.com. Mother Dearest.
Lovey.
What events are we participating and attending in the near future?
The hashtag Choose Your Own Adventure Cal is ongoing. Mm-hmm. You have a sweater yet that you're working on?
I have two that need to be ripped, yeah.
You have two that need to be ripped? I'll be happy to help with the ripping. Because I have no emotional gain in your mm-hmm. in your sweaters. And my sweater is on hold right now because I want to do other things. May 18th, tentatively, there is spinning at the Retzlaff Winery. And that is always lovely. Mm-hmm. Also, Stash Dash was announced will be the end of May till sometime in August, as usual. Mm-hmm. And Tour de Fleece runs from July 6th to 28th.
Excellent.
Yes.
I can't wait to do all of these things. I'm starting to feel...
Do you know what you want to do for Tour de Fleece?
I want to make a dent into my Incredibles family sweater project. It's a lot of spinning. So I don't know. I don't know that I have a goal specifically for yardage or weight or what. But I think it's just going to be... Maybe I'll set a time amount, like 15 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. Because historically, I have managed to spin a sweater's worth of yarn in Tour de Fleece and ply it as well. That is not... I don't think that's in my thing.
I know. So I know the what for this year's Tour de Fleece.
Okay.
I have a bit of beautiful gray tones mm-hmm. from Nicole Frost.
Mm.
And that is going to be my Tour de Fleece spinning. I don't know what it wants to be. It'll tell me when I've spun it.
Are you going
to
spindle spin it or wheel spin it?
Not there yet.
Okay. Well, we definitely need to put a new drive band on your wheel because as we discovered, when it snapped, I forgot to do that a few years back.
Oops.
Whoops.
So if I don't have
a drive band,
that won't be an option.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. That's it?
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. No matter what you need, the Barmaids have you covered from head to toe. Face pudding to keep you smiling, Lola lips to keep them kissable, probiotic deodorant for keeping you fresh as a rose, O for feet's sake to keep your feet soft and sandal ready, and the Lolo body bar for everything in between. You can find all this and more at bar-maids.com. Mother Dearest.
Lovey.
What has you in stitches this week?
Well, it's still California cold here. Mm-hmm. So I'm wearing the Quinn hat with the ear flaps at night. Right now, I'm wearing my Knitmore cowl. Every day, I'm wearing wool socks. And I had spindle spun a cowl out of some interesting fiber that was, I think, leftovers from something or other. Mm-hmm. And I wore that to school and showed it off.
Marvelous.
And the teacher was very impressed.
It's really pretty.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said it has some stellina in it.
Mm-hmm.
And blue and red against a black background and other flecks of color. So, yeah. What have you been wearing?
I've been wearing wool socks, my looped loop cowl, and my going gold hat. Rex wore my going gold hat yesterday because we were walking to school and his ears got chilly. And so he wore that and it was very cute, especially with the dramatically oversized pom-pom. Genevieve is committed to her Gryffindor scarf and hat, though I did see the preview for Frozen 2. So I'm seeing the next Elsa sweater in my future, though she says she's over Frozen, so we'll see. She still got excited about the preview, though.
Yeah, she's into Harry Potter now.
Oh, being into it doesn't even begin to describe it. We live, we breathe, we eat Harry Potter.
We do magic. We turn on the lights saying lumos. Lumens.
Oh, she's been lumosing.
It's Latin.
Yes, it is. Andrew has been wearing his watch caps, and I am still figuring out what Rex wants. Maybe I'll show him the Morehouse Merino binders with all their patterns and let him figure out if he wants any of those, because we got the whole collection to review, and maybe he can pick another animal hat he'll refuse to wear. And then keep hostage in his sweater chest.
In retrospect, I think I should have knitted a dragon scarf instead of the crocodile I knitted.
Didn't you make a dragon?
No, I made an alligator or something.
Huh. I'm going to make one too. I'm making a dragon.
Yes, make all a right. dragon.
Are you doing anything else?
Dracaris!
Yeah, that one. Oh my goodness. Actually, with a silk blend, it would look spectacular. Yeah. As a Game of Thrones cosplay thing.
Yes.
This is the dragon scarf from Morehouse Merino, in case you are a mother of dragons who needs one or three dragon scarves. We'll link to that along with everything else we talk about in the show notes. Is there anything else?
Nope.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Every hobby needs organization. Every project needs a place. Erin Lane Bags helps you turn your fiber pastime into neat and organized endeavor. Our project bags, totes, and needle and notions organizers are everything you need to keep your fiber arts from fraying. You can find links to Erin Lane along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes.
For Mother Knows Best, we're going to answer a question from the What Do You Want to Hear About thread. Jasmine Lovey, what question are we answering today?
Today we're answering a post from Sudie A, who writes, I've been knitting since forever. However, a few recent life events have changed how I knit. My babies and an accident to my hand have kept me from knitting for a few years. Now my babies are growing up and need me less. Fortunately, my hand is healed where I can knit without discomfort. I now have time where I can focus for a small stretch of time. I'm excited to do more fussy knitting. But my biggest change is that my oldest is moving to a place that has cold weather. I'm not familiar with wool and how to take care of it. I'd love more information. I hear you talk about plungers and washing and such. I did not think you could get wool wet. Thanks in advance. I'm so happy I recently found your podcast. Perfect timing. So first of all, congratulations on your children. And I'm glad that you are knitting again comfortably. That is huge.
Yes.
Wool can get wet. Wool is an amazing fiber. Different kinds of wool behave differently. Mm-hmm. So for example, did I talk about washing my Parkland sweater and how it grew four sizes and
I
needed to go?
I don't think you did.
Okay. So, I try and wash everything when I'm done working with it. I have like four things in my to be blocked basket before it can go. And part of the reason I like to wash it instead of just steam blocking it is because usually my projects have been hauled around quite a lot, and it's nice to start with a clean sweater or a clean whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I finished my worsted boxy, and this is in the Parkland colorway from Neighborhood Fiber Company in their Studio Worsted, which is a super wash. I did the thing where I submerge it in Beyond Clean wool wash in warmish water and rinse it in cool water. And then I rolled it out in a towel and stepped on it and had all my children step on it, because that's a really fun way of squishing the extra water out of your sweater.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it gently. The way you felt things that are not super wash is to temperature change and agitation.
That's for felting.
You don't want to accidentally do that. Oh goodness. So because this is super wash, you can handle it a little more.
If it's super wash,
you can. This sweater is that I'm talking about. So the kids stepped on it while it was rolled up in the sweater, and that won't move. Being rolled up in the sweater will hold it still, so there's no agitation or...
So agitation, heat, and there were three things. Moisture.
Temperature change and agitation and moisture, obviously.
Make things felt.
Yes. So you need to be careful if it's not a super wash fiber. So I roll it out and I'm flattening it on the table. And usually things are a little bit bigger.
After washing.
And then when they dry, Yes. I will throw them in the dryer for about 10 minutes and they go right back into place. And that's with everything. This was not going to pop back. And I looked at it and I thought, I'm just going to throw this in the dryer to finish it. And you know what? I looked at the washing instructions on their website and it said tumble dry low.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like an hour in the dryer on tumble dry low, because this is so much fabric. I mean, mm-hmm. It's got like a 60-something inch circumference for the body. So it's going to take longer to dry than something fitted and small. Like, so the kids' stuff goes pretty quick, and mm-hmm. my stuff takes a little longer, and then Andrew's stuff takes longer. It's more fabric, takes longer to dry. So I did that, and it right back into place because mm-hmm. it's super wash. And I think it has to do with the scales and how they're treated and all that stuff. And I don't remember it exactly, but yes, you can get wool wet. You should be careful with how you wash things if you're not sure if they're going to bleed. From what I understand, cold water is a better way to go, even though it does not lift stains as effectively. There are wool washes that seem to be more color fast depending on who you speak to. So I know on Neighborhood Fiber Company's website, because I was looking at their washing instructions, it said, we prefer to use Eucalan as other brands of wool wash can make our colors run. This is all chemistry. We did the citric acid soak on stuff years ago if we couldn't get it to, if the colors weren't set, and colors not being set is different from colors bleeding. Bleeding comes from too much dye saturated into it, so that the bleeding is the extra stuff coming off.
Mm-hmm.
Colors that are not set means they're not sealed.
They're not adhered.
Yeah, it's not adhered to the fiber. So it's two different things. So how to wash wool. My husband takes things to a dry cleaner. If it looks like things aren't going to get washed in our house in a timely fashion, he takes it to the dry cleaner, and Andrew will just have them do it, which is fine. Your woolens don't need to be washed on every wearing.
They shouldn't be.
They shouldn't. As long as you don't wad them up and throw them in a drawer immediately after taking them off, letting them air out for a day or two before you put them away seems to
mm-hmm.
be the thing. And then you wash them at the end of the season, unless something happens. I will also point out that one of my hand-spun sweaters turned out to be latte-proof. Wool has some naturally water-repellent qualities. And when I spilled a latte down my front, it beat it up and I could just wipe it off and it didn't do a thing, which was pretty exciting.
That sounds scary.
It was extremely stressful, but a great life lesson. So, plungers, washing. The plungers are for fulling fibers. Fulling is making them bloom and kind of lock into place. So very short fibers like cashmere, bison, kiviet. What else are you thinking of? What else we got?
Bunny rabbit.
Oh, angora. I don't know if people full angora. I can't work with it, so I don't know. But it basically blooms it. And I don't know if you can do that with blends either. I think this is just for pure cashmere, pure bison.
I wouldn't do that for a garment. I would do that only on yarn. You fold a garment?
Yeah. I fold your cashmere scarf that I wove for you. And I fold the Aran pocket shawl that I made for myself.
Okay.
And I still need to fold Andrew's. No, I fold his too. Because the ends are all tangly now. Kids had a great time. Plungers are for fulling. You don't use a plunger for normal. It's not a normal tool for washing sweaters.
No.
They are fun, though, for fulling. It's a delightful thing to do with your kids. Okay, what other tips do you have for washing? I just got a humongous salad spinner. It is a 5-gallon salad spinner that I'm super excited to try for larger sweaters. I'm actually gutting it so that my kids can try and spin stuff out. Something slightly greener. More eco-friendly, and also guaranteed to be a good time for me and the kids and wear them out a little bit.
Okay.
Combine the useful with the necessary.
Okay. So you want to make sure you clean your sweaters before you put them away for the season, because if you put sweaters away with food stains on it, that is a dinner bell for all kind of nasty critters who will not only eat the food off of your sweater, but also take a chomp out of the yarn itself.
Mm-hmm. People use lavender, cloves, things like that. Oh, those horrible things, moth cakes.
Those, you can never get the smell out of your garments. And the only way to get mothball smell out of the garment is to burn the garment.
We don't recommend that. The reason I learned from Judith McKenzie years and years ago that the reason these things are somewhat effective is because it covers that delicious woolly scent, or the scent of the animal that's in your fiber. So I've talked a million times about how delicious Blue-Faced Leicester smells, mm-hmm. like how it has a specific smell. So lanolin has a smell, decidedly. All the other things have a real smell. So that's the thing that you're covering. It's not that lavender itself repels. It doesn't repel moths. They just, it just covers the smell, camouflages your stuff.
I prefer lavender or cloves or cinnamon even.
Mm-hmm. Anything that'll cover the smell.
Mothballs.
Yeah. Or that'll obscure the smell. I shouldn't say cover, but that's why these sachets work. I know that when I get fleeces from Sherry, she always includes a beautiful little sachet. And Carolina Homespun had some really lovely, like, spicy ones that were so nice. I just stuck them in my sock drawer because I like the smell of them, the scent of them.
Cedar balls. Or if you're frugal, you go to the pet store and you get cedar shavings
that put them in a mesh bag
as bedding for hamsters. And you put them in mesh bags and throw them in with your winter woolens.
Hmm. That's a lovely idea.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
All right. Please keep your questions coming in the What Do You Want to Hear About thread. We would have never thought to talk about this, but what a cool topic. I would love to hear how other... Oh, you have more.
I have more. The Knit Girls are going to be working on fixing and putting stuff away for the winter season.
Oh, like they're going to do a video thing?
I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something. They just mentioned it in passing on their last episode.
Cool.
So keep your eyes open for Knit Girls episodes.
Will do. Is that it?
Yep.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a word from our sponsors. Dreaming of sweater weather? Infinite Twist has you covered with Dyer's Choice sweater quantities. Each yarn pack includes 1,800 yards of hand-dyed 6-ply merino in a one-of-a-kind color for $98, and shipping is free. Colors are not repeatable, and when they're gone, they're gone. Check out the colors currently available at infinitetwist.com.
It's when knitting attacks!
Do you have any knitting attacks this week?
I don't. I have no knitting.
Oh, dear. Well,
do you have any knitting attacks?
I do. So last week I started a Cousteau hat and I was very charmed with myself because I tried a different cast on.
Okay.
I tried, I think, the third or fourth variation on a long tail cast on, all of which I've learned through Isolde except one, which I learned through a Pearl Soho tutorial, which may have linked back to Isolde now that I think about it. Anyway. So at Stitches, I purchased the Roy G. Biv colorway. I'm sorry, Roy G. Pig colorway from Oink Pigments. And I bought it in a sock weight and I bought it in a DK weight. And I had a plan. And they've, the skeins, I have like three or four skeins of yarn that are sitting on my dinner table waiting for inspiration to strike. Because everything else has been packed up and paired with a project and is waiting for the next step. So whether that's yarn being wound or swatching or washing, if it's a color work project, everything is advanced to the next step except for these like golden skeins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a fingering weight and a DK weight so I could do a hat and a cowl and switcheroo those depending on which weight I wanted because they were close. And these colors just make me so happy. So I hand a skein to Mom and I say, could you wind this? I want to cast on a hat. And I just can't wind the yarn. That's the thing that's in my way. So Mom winds the yarn. And Genevieve and I watch the tutorial together. And
tutorial for what?
For this variation on the, and this was a tubular cast on long tail in ribbing. So you do it with two tails and you do the tubular thing. Yeah. And it's forward and backward, and it's like a long tail. It is a long tail cast on, but it's a slightly different movement, which is enough to cause an interrupt, like an issue, a hiccup between my brain and my hands. Because I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but my muscle memory is clearly team regular traditional long tail cast on.
Yep. It's a different... Your hands remember something.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So Genevieve and I talked about this last week. How Genevieve watched me kind of try it and then go, nope, that's not it, and try again. So it looked a little weird, but I kept going because it was fun to rib. And then I looked, and it wasn't the DK weight yarn. was the fingering white yarn. So that's why the stitches were looking so wah and not. Because if you do fingering weight yarn on fours, it's a very different look than DK weight yarn on fours.
Yeah.
Like 100% different. One is loose and drapey, and the other one is tight and springy. So instead of waiting for it to be ripped out indefinitely, I handed it to Mom and said, could you please just rip this out? And it was like 2 inches of hat ribbing. This wasn't a huge life commitment, but it just... So friends, read the labels. Especially if you buy the same yarn in two weights. If you go to a place like Stitches and you buy yarn, make sure that it's all the same weight if that's what you're going for. Because they had it separate.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you're not paying attention when you get caught up with the wool fumes. And we're going to festival season, and I feel like this is solid advice. Read the labels. Make sure you're getting all of the same. The vendors are usually super, super, super good about saying, did you intend to buy the same color in two different weights?
Mm-hmm.
Which the Oink crew did point out, and I said, yes, I like it so much I can't decide between. And actually, one, the fingering is supposed to grow up to be socks. So anyway, read the labels. All right, nothing? Let's move on to the next segment. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
How is your sewing treating you?
Interesting.
Mm.
So the dress I'm working on right now in class is a slip dress on the bias.
Mm-hmm.
So you cut a square and turn it on its corner, and it needs to be pressed and all that, and then you put it on the dress form.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting this on the size 10 dress form, which hopefully will fit you. And I've done something with the cups.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fiddling with the back, and it's going to have straps. The teacher demonstrated spaghetti straps, but yours is going to have a white strap in the back. And she suggested I do different cups,
mm-hmm.
and because the cup I have is on the bias.
Hmm.
So the V-neck is on the bias, and that is not optimal.
Hmm. It doesn't sound like something I've seen before. Are you making this up, or is this a like already invented thing?
No, I'm just fiddling around on my dressmaker form.
Okay.
And so I got the muslin pinned and done, and the front is done, the back is done, and I put it on paper. So you're supposed to put the pattern paper under your muslin and then go over it with a tracing wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Except if you have a hard surface and you put paper on top of it and then put your muslin on it, the holes are so small, I can't see them. So what I did at home, I took my cardboard cutting mat,
yeah,
and used that, and that worked very well. But it would be yet another thing I would have to drag to class. And it's not skinny.
No, it's unwieldy.
It's unwieldy. So I took a length of muslin, had it double folded, and put that under my paper.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me just enough cushioning that it worked just fine with the tracing wheel. So I have a dressmaker's form that was made off of my body. And sometimes I like her better than other times.
Hmm.
And I decided to refer to her as the client because everything needs to be done to
her specifications.
The client's specification, no matter who. So you work as a designer for a company,
mm-hmm.
and then the company is the client. Or if you're doing individual work, couture work, you have a client. So if I'm referring to my dressmaker's form as the client, I think it feels like it gives her legitimacy. And I can design stuff that will fit me. So
that makes sense. I mean, in a kind of strange way, it totally makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm watching old Project Runway episodes for inspiration, and I'm towards the end of season 8. And Michael Costello has designed...
Oh, I remember him.
Yes. He designed a bias dress that was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, and I cannot not use that for inspiration.
Well, it's runway.
Well, first of all, I don't attend functions that would warrant something that,
like that
fancy.
Yeah.
And then the dress he had designed had a slit all the way up the hip.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm not opposed to high slit legs, this was too high.
Mm-hmm. For you? Was it too high on the model as well? They have a lot of leg. They're very tall women.
I thought it was a bit much.
Huh.
And
again, I say runway.
Yes, and then also it was cut so low in the back that between the leg slash and the back, there was no room for foundation garments, which is not an option for me.
For many of us.
Yeah. And I'm going to complain about something.
Go for it.
The judges bash garments as matronly.
Mm-hmm.
And...
that's ageist.
Exactly. And it totally discounts the older part of the population who are professional and do have the funds to... buy clothes.
Everyone should be able to wear nice clothes and look nice and feel good in them. It shouldn't be dependent on age or size or economic ability. Everyone should have access to clothes that make them feel good.
Exactly. And calling stuff matronly just denies a whole part of the population clothes that are not slit up to here and cut down to there. And modesty, being what it is for different people, but I want to be comfortable when I put something on. I want to be able to move comfortably in my clothes. And my body has certain things that I prefer to cover up.
Yeah. I mean, everyone feels differently about what they're comfortable with. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think I've ever seen a model over 25 on that show either. So the age window that they're designing for is extremely narrow.
There's a call for models at the school for our next fashion show. And I am too short, for one thing. They want something 5'8" and over. And then they have parameters as to what size they want. And that's not happening either.
Yeah.
And then they have people wear those high heels. And I don't even want to think about that.
It's not very inclusive.
No.
Hmm.
So I guess I won't be modeling at the fashion show at school. And one of the other girls kind of wound me up and says, yeah, go. They need older models. Yeah, if you're 5'8" and 36, 26, 36.
I don't meet those measurements.
Mm-hmm.
I'm close to one of them.
I never was there, so I want to see more matronly clothing.
You want to see clothing for everybody.
Do you remember Scarlett?
Scarlett who?
No. On one of the first seasons of Project Runway, Santino and... the other guy who then had a show together.
Austin Scarlett.
That's what I said. And they did matronly clothing by intent for matronly women.
Anytime Project Runway did a mom challenge, someone always ended up being so mean to their client that the poor mom ended up in tears. And these were the moms of their competitors usually, which something is broken when you can't make nice clothes. If this was a school thing and I was dealing with elementary schoolers, I would say, this gives you the opportunity to stretch your skills. This is a learning opportunity. This gives you a chance to take all the cool things that you do and then figure out how to do them for somebody different than you're used to doing it for. Like, it's not a flexible mindset to say, I only design for young, tall, skinny women. You know? It doesn't really feel like you're that good as a designer if you can only do... Are you a good cook if you only cook one thing? If I make a great meatloaf, but nothing else, do I really think I'm a great cook? And on that note, it sounds like we've come to the end of our row. This week we'd like to thank the barmaids, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Little Skin and the Big Wool, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything we've talked about in this week's episode, can be found at the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. And you can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, G-I-G-I, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Periscope, YouTube, Pandora, Spotify, pretty much everywhere as knitmoregirls. And if you haven't already joined our Ravelry group, you absolutely should. It's full of amazing people and phenomenal conversation. Remember, this is Jasmine.
And Gigi.
Telling you to knit more.